God has placed Paul in a school or a classroom over time, listen, where he has learned progressively, Paul has learned the power of contentment.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Live in the Light. We're so glad that you're here today. I'm your host, Craig, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Robbie Simons. And Robbie, we are concluding our series in Philippians. We walk verse by verse through this amazing book, a series we called Citizens of Heaven. But today is great teaching as well, right? We're looking at contentment and giving at the same time.
Yeah, and that's even that word, contentment. And by the way, we're so glad for you to be with us during this series. This may be a great time for you, if God has used it in your life, just to take a moment, send an email, pick up the phone. Again, we're here because we want to see God's people encouraged in the Word and see those that are lost found and saved in Jesus Christ. So contentment. Question, are you content? And then, are you really content? The vast majority of our society is not. All the stats are in. Today we see, again, God's word so relevant. I just love how it speaks to us exactly where we are. I was convicted through this message. I pray you will be as well, in a good sense of that. The Holy Spirit loves us and speaks to us and wants us to change. Again, are you content with life, where you are, with God has given? Maybe we find ourselves complaining and looking at God with a closed fist and waving it at him. Well, again, if any of that applies to you, you're in the right place. So here comes God's word. It's going to be, again, convicting, but we pray it's going to be wonderfully encouraging. And we're in Philippians chapter 4 today, and the final verses 10 to 23.
All right, I'm excited as you are. I sense conviction coming on, but lots of grace from God's word today as well. Like Robbie said, it's Philippians chapter 4. Let's dive into God's word together. Here again is Pastor Robbie.
Well, once again, I'm not disappointed I showed up to church this weekend. That's so great. Praise the Lord. You know, we gather in a way that the world just cannot offer. There's no sporting event. There's no business seminar. There's no entertainment movie. It cannot offer what the Lord Jesus Christ alone provides. All right. Now on to our final message in Philippians. So today, to end our series in Philippians, we're going to go to school. All right. We're going to school. I don't want to hear any groaning. This is going to be fun school. At least it's going to be very, very transformational school. In fact, our sermon title is The School of God's Provision. The School of God's Provision. We're going to ask and answer this. Ready? What does it mean to know the provision of God in our lives? I think I have most of your attention right now because this is the topic that we really care about and we think about a lot. What does it mean to know the provision of God in our lives? We long for God's provision. We pray for God's provision. What is the secret to God's provision within our lives? And that's what we go to school for today. And I'm particularly excited for class today as well. However, just like any good school, we're going to start with a test, all right? A pop quiz, if you will. The groanings really did begin right there, all right? So we're ending Philippians today. So I wanted to have some fun at the same time. I wanted to see kind of where we're at. And we're going to take a Philippians quiz. Yay! That's so exciting. So fun right on. We can't wait. So I hardly ever say this in church, but please close your Bibles, all right? Because no cheating. Close your Bibles. You can leave a marker in Philippians 4, whatever it is, okay? And as we do this, no looking at the person beside you, all right? No cheating. We have cameras set up in here. We don't. Well, I guess we do, but you know. I want you to write down 1 through 5 on your sermon notes, okay? 1 through 5 is going to be pretty quick, okay? And we're going to have 5 questions plus a bonus question, 1 through 5. Let's see how you do. We've been through Philippians. It's been months now. Hopefully we've learned. And by the way, there's some verses we read earlier in the service, and they were really helpful. You know what I'm saying? All right? So hopefully you're paying attention to that too. Here's our first question with our Philippians pop quiz. Some of you are like our guests right now, and you're like, do you guys always do this? No, we don't, but you're in luck tonight. All right? All right. First question, the letter of Philippians was written by blank.
was written by, say it, okay, to believers in the city of, don't say it, but you got to fill in that blank, okay? You got to fill in that blank. Question, I started easy, loved ones, really easy. Again, if you've been here and you can't get this one, man, I just don't know what to say about that, all right? You just write down, you don't write down the whole thing, just write down the blanks here. Question number two, what is the title of our series and what is our theme verse, all right? What is the title? I really hope we get these ones because it's really discouraging for a pastor if we can't, all right? So provide chapter and verse number. So name of our series theme and chapter and verse of where that comes from, okay? Next question, question number three. Question number three, where in Philippians do you find the humiliation and exaltation of Christ? So you can put like chapter and verse section. Where in Philippians, this is one of the most powerful, majestic passages in Scripture at all, okay? So where do you find that in Philippians? And you really have a one choice out of four when it comes to which chapter it's in anyways. Question number four, finish this sentence from Philippians 3:10, okay? This was our Easter text. That I may know him and the power of, don't say it, okay? But fill in the blank. Power of his, and may share his, fill in the blank. Okay, that I may know him, the power of his blank, and may share his blank, becoming like him in his, and then fill in the blank. Make sure no one has the Bible open or your phone. Make sure all phones are shut down too, all right? No cheating, no cheating. All right, last couple questions, number five. What chapter and verse do you find the phrase, do not be anxious about anything? What chapter and verse? We got to know this. This is easy, man. This is easy, but it's also fun. And then bonus question, just in case you're feeling bad about yourself. Bonus question is Philippians 1 verse 5 says that as believers, we are partners in the fill in the blank. All right? Some of you are loving this. Some of you are still confused while we're doing it. That's all right. All right, let's go back now and let's fill in the answers, okay? Number one, fill in the blanks right there. Letter of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul to believers in the city of Philippi, nice, okay? So technically, you can get two marks for that if you want to. It doesn't matter to me. So question number two, what is the title of our series? What is the theme verse? Provide chapter and verse number. Citizens of heaven, please let me tell you got that one, all right? And the verse, of course, is Philippians 3, verse 20. Got to have that memorized. Got to have that memorized. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're not Canadian, we're heavenese. Yes, all right. Third one, where in Philippians do you find humiliation, exaltation of Christ? The answer, survey says, Philippians 2 verses 5 to 11. Oh, I was close. Oh, I almost got that. That's great. Four, finish this sentence for Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, and may share his sufferings and becoming like him in his death. I mean, that's the gospel. That's incredible. Question number five. You want to do this every week now, don't you? Eh? Yeah, you're loving it, I know. Chapter 5, the answer is Philippians 4, verse 6. All right? I love the Saturday service, so great. Bonus question, Philippians 1, 5 said, as believers in Christ, we are partners in the gospel, yes. Partnership in the gospel, and that's why we gather right now, the best partnership in the history of the universe. There's a buzz in the room. How exciting. All right. So let's get down to business then. School today, again, the school of God's provision. Philippians 4, we'll start at verse 10 and we'll read to verse 13. It says this, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I want to circle that, underline that. That's important. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Verse 13, I can do all things through him, through Christ, who strengthens me. Okay, let's stop there. This takes us to our first lesson when it comes to the school of God's provision in our lives. Number one is this, I must learn the power of contentment. If I'm going to understand what it means to be in the arena or the sphere of God's provision, to see his provision, I must learn, it's so important to learn the power of contentment. So notice, first of all, Paul is rejoicing in the Lord, but he's rejoicing in the Lord that the Philippian church has revived their concern for him. Now, what does that mean? We're going to see in the context of what follows, Paul is referring to their practical financial gifts that they made to the Apostle Paul in his mission for the gospel. But Paul quickly wants them to know, though, the greater lesson that he has learned in the midst of their generosity towards him. Look at verse 11. For I have learned, that's important too, you want to underline that, I have learned in whatever situation I am, that's whatever situation, he has learned to be content. Notice verse 12. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. Now, the word learn here in the original is important. The word learn means to have learned from experience over time. So we got this. Paul's giving us information, which is important. God has placed Paul in a school or a classroom over time, listen, where he has learned progressively, Paul has learned the power of contentment. Let's just stop right there for a second. What Paul's telling us, as he has grown in maturity in Christ, one of the major lessons he has learned was contentment in Christ and therefore in the world and life he's living. Question, are you growing in Christ? Am I growing in Christ? One of the biggest ways we know we're growing in Christ in this passage right here is we are growing in contentment. Are you growing in contentment? Now think about it. If we're growing in complaining, if we're growing in restlessness, if we're growing in thinking that we have nothing, if we're growing in wanting more, if we're growing in greed, those are very, very bad signs. We're moving away from Jesus, not towards him. One of the great factors that Paul here was being used of the Lord and God was maturing him. He says, I have learned the secret, he says, of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and poverty. Amazing. So contentment is such a big deal. Why? Why is contentment such an important lesson? Contentment is so big deal because it applies to every situation we face. Look at verse 11. He says, I have learned in whatever situation I am. Contentment covers every situation. Contentment also, it overrides the fluctuations of life. Look at verse 12. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. He's like, whatever happens, sometimes he's in the plenty, sometimes he's in poverty. In whatever situation, though, he's learned to navigate the ups and downs of life. How? Contentment. Contentment is the secret to powerful living. Again, look at the second half of verse 12. I have learned the secret facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. That's powerful. Paul is saying, if I have nothing, I've learned to be content. If I have abundance, then I've also learned to be content. Have we learned that? That's powerful. Often, like when we're in abundance, yeah, everything's great. But all of a sudden, when all of a sudden we're in need or poverty, so to speak, then all of a sudden we start distrusting God. God, where are you? But see, contentment is found in all situations. And then finally here we see contentment employs the strength of Christ in my life. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, through him who strengthens me. So needless to say, loving you, you got to pick up what the Holy Spirit's putting down right now. Contentment is a huge deal for all of our lives. Now, in the original, in the Greek, the word for content in verse 11, that word was very popular among Greek philosophers to describe a self-sufficiency. When they said we are content, they said, I am sufficient in myself. In fact, among Greek Stoics, to be self-sufficient was the most valuable attribute of a wise person. So one of the greatest virtues and attributes they held up in the context when Paul is writing this was, I am content, I am self-sufficient, therefore I am wise. Think of how that has carried over into the philosophy of our day as well. The emphasis in our day of self-sufficiency in the sayings like, you can do it. And again, like last week, believe in yourself, or the power is within you. I am self-sufficient. That's how you find inner peace. Look within. All that mumble jumble that goes on in our day. What Paul does here, though, he does not find sufficiency in self. His sufficiency is in Christ. Again, look at verse 13.
I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So he's saying here, he says, my contentment is in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ through him. And by the way, many of you know this, some of you need to know this. Philippians 4:13 is one of the most misused and abused scriptures in the New Testament. People stand up and they claim, I can do all things through Christ. So they claim on every aspect of their life and somehow thinking. But remember, the context is explicitly in this passage. It's contentment. It's I can be content in all things and all circumstances through Christ who strengthens me. If you look at the verse or the phrase all things in verse 13, well, that's referring back to whatever situation in verse 11, which is also referring to every circumstance in verse 12. And this is all speaking of contentment. Paul's saying, whether plenty or hunger, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? So you got to know this. Philippians 4:13 is not to enter into a boxing match and say, I will win because Christ will strengthen me. And speaking of that, here's a picture in the past you probably are familiar with, right? So this happens a lot in athletics. And we see the verse right down here, Vander Holyfield, great guy, man. He won a lot of matches, but he went in, he's even signing in here, Philippians 4:13, right? And so, but the problem is he went to some matches and I saw him get destroyed, all right? So what happened, man? I thought Christ could do all things who strengthened you. Maybe not that time. Maybe whatever. He just wasn't around, right? So we got to understand, this isn't about getting into a sporting event and say, I will win because I'm a Christian. No. This is in the context of contentment in the highs of life and the lows of life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I apologize if I just burst some people who thought Philippians 4:13 meant other things, but it's important to what the Bible says about that, isn't it? So how do we apply this then? How do we apply this verse and this passage? Well, look at verse 12. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. This is such important stuff for all of us right now. Like our context, our society, our greed. I mean, just imagine adding up all the different desires in the room right now. Gotta take this for what it is. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. Notice Paul repeating himself. Do you see it there? He says, I know. I have learned. Paul's excited about what he has learned. He has learned contentment in poverty and abundance. He has learned contentment in humiliation and prosperity. He has learned contentment in hunger and plenty. But please listen, what was the secret in verse 12? What's the secret to having contentment and whether you're impoverished or whether you have plenty? Here's the secret. When you've been given Jesus Christ, which equals everything, ultimately, loved ones, there's nothing else you or I need. Pause, think, apply. If we've been given everything in Christ Jesus as the single greatest treasure of infinite worth, ultimately then, there is nothing else we need in this life. I mean, let's just do a review. We've done this a little bit already in this service. Let's just do a review from Philippians alone on this theme that Christ by himself is everything we could ever need, okay? First verse, Philippians 1 verse 21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What are we learning here? Christ is my life. If I have Christ, if I have Jesus, if I have believed in him and he's forgiven my sins, there's nothing else I need. He is life itself. Next verse, Philippians 3:8. Indeed, Paul says, I count everything as loss because of the one of my favorite verses in the New Testament, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Listen, for his sake, I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. What do we learn here? Christ is my worth. See, when all your value is found in Jesus Christ, then you look at the world and you're just like, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what I have or don't have. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. I got Jesus. He's my worth.
word for moms right now, eh? I just love speaking about moms. Your worth, women, your worth is in Jesus. Your worth is not in your appearance. Your worth is not in your clothing. Your worth is not in how things you say or the places you hope to. Your worth is not based on kind of what's happened through your life and how your kids are doing. No. Your worth is Jesus Christ. And you take that to the spiritual bank right now. You throw them in the face of all the lies of our society. Jesus Christ calls you daughter. What else do you need? Or at least if God the Father calls you daughter and Jesus Christ is your Savior, what else do you need? Next slide. Philippians 3, 14, 15. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Listen, Christ is my prize. The only thing I'm ultimately seeking to achieve in this life by grace is that Jesus Christ is my prize. I press on the prize, the upward call, Christ Jesus. Ready? If we're mature, we think this way. If we're mature, we know that he is my prize. Not the next vacation, not the next car we want to get, not the next item, not the next gadget, not the next truth. No. Christ is my prize. Next verse, Philippians 3:20. We know this verse. We know it well. Our citizenship is in heaven. We await our Savior, Jesus. Christ is my identity. He is my citizenship. This is my destination, Jesus Christ, my identity. Just think, take it in, man. People around you, they're so mean to you. People say this and that. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, their words will fall. The word of Jesus will last forever. Last one here, Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the, tell me, Lord. Always again, I will say, rejoice in the Lord. So Christ is my joy. He's my joy. Not my circumstances I hope to get better, not the job I hope to have, not the relationship I'm hoping ultimately that will be come around my way. No. At the end of the day, Jesus Christ is my, everything else will let us down. So you see, when you know you've been given everything, then it changes what you strive for. It allows you to start experiencing contentment on a new level. Paul is going out of his way to communicate that to us. I came across a couple of, I think, nice little stories this week I wanted to share with you because I appreciate them. Philip Parham is his name. He tells the story of a rich industrialist who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. "Why aren't you out there fishing?" he asked. "Because I've caught enough fish today," said the fisherman. "Why don't you catch more fish than you need?" the rich man asked. "What would I do with them? You could earn more money," came the impatient reply. "And buy a better boat so you go deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets, catch even more fish, make more money. Soon you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich like me." The fisherman then asked, and then, "What would I do?" "You could sit down and enjoy life," said the industrialist. "What do you think I'm doing now?" said the fisherman, as he looked placidly out at the sea. Now, listen, are we in favor of hard work? 100%. But what are we working for? The ability to sit still and know that he is God. The ability, isn't it, you like me sometimes, it is so powerful to look at all the messages of this world and be like, I don't need you. I'm good. I don't need that. All the advertising you want, it's not true. I'm not going to be a better person if I have your shirt on my back or I have your jewelry on my neck. No. I got everything I need. It's so powerful to stare right in the face of the demonic system of our world, which is rooted in luxurious living, all kinds of stuff. I look at it and be like, you're wrong. I don't need you. In your face, lie. Jesus Christ is all I need. It's powerful. It's not wrong to have clothing. Thank you for dressing up and wearing clothing today at church. It's not wrong to have jewelry. It's not wrong to drive a car. It's like, that's not wrong, but hear what's happening here. It's so powerful to look and say, Christ is enough. It's so powerful. Think about it. Why is consumer debt all-time high? One of the main reasons is a lack of contentment. It's one of the main reasons. Why are you, some of you right now, you're overspending. You're spending more than you make. Why? You have to answer that question. It's a problem. It's a heart problem. It's a lack of contentment problem. Why can't we sit still? Moving jobs, moving houses, moving communities, moving relationships, moving churches. One of the main reasons for that is a lack of contentment. We must have more. We must have bigger. We must have better. We must have different. We must have newer. Just think about it. Why is the divorce rate so high? One of the reasons is a lack of contentment. I wish it was like this. I wish it was, really? I know it's complicated. I'm just saying, man, one of the reasons. Why so much addiction? Why so much greed? There's various reasons for this. One of the reasons is, though, I'm not content. This world is not giving me what I need. And so perspective, as Paul is filling Philippians with, perspective is powerful. One other story I wanted to share with you. I love this one too. There's a story about a Jewish man in Hungary who went to his rabbi and complained, "Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do?" The rabbi answered, "Take your goat into the room with you. Take your goat." The man was incredulous, but the rabbi insisted, "Do as I say, come back in a week." A week later, the man returned looking more distraught than before. "We can't stand it," he told the rabbi. "The goat is filthy." The rabbi said, "Go home and let the goat out and come back in a week." A week later, the man returned radiant, exclaiming, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat, only the 9 of us." And the author of the story says, perspective helps, doesn't it? Perspective brings contentment. You know, I think it was C.S. Lewis. I haven't been able to track this quote down officially, but I was told C.S. Lewis said, "With gratitude comes contrast." When you know you've been given everything ever in Jesus Christ, then you learn the secret of facing plenty and hunger, of poverty and abundance. Because it's like, loved ones, I mean, if you, like, even as I preach this, I'm just like, man, the more I can live this, the more powerful life becomes. Again, you can just filter through all the garbage and look at it and be like, okay, that's not wrong, but it's also not necessary. Like, to look at it and see if what it is. It's when you're craving and longing and you're restless and why can't I have? And it's driving your whole life and your whole heart. That's where we're in such danger. And Paul's like, "I'm thankful for the gift." We're going to see that now. "I'm thankful for your financial contributions to the gospel in my life." But he said, at the end of the day, I have Jesus and that's all I need. It's awesome. Lesson number one is, I must learn, for God's provision, I must learn the power of contentment. Lesson number two then is this, of God's provision, his school, I must experience the blessing of giving. I must experience the blessing of giving. Look at verse 14 now. "Yet," see Paul transitioning, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in terms of contentment, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when the gospel first met them, through Paul's ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." So Paul is demonstrating he has proven contentment, yet he doesn't want this to diminish his joy or gratitude for the practical or financial support towards him by the Philippian church.
Well, a convicting message today for sure. We encourage you to be praying that God would help you as you choose to pursue him daily in your personal study and in prayer. Need some extra encouragement? Well, we have our previous messages and series available for you to listen online at liveinthelight.ca. At Live in the Light, we believe that through the faithful and the passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.